Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to welcome you to the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room of AccessibleWorld.org. The date is Monday, October 28th, 2013. And you'll never believe what happened. Two things I want to say before introducing our honored speaker today. One, I got ready with the newswire, and it disappeared on my Braille notes, so there you go. But thank goodness, I don't need a newswire to introduce this guy. We know him. He's very good with consumers. He's always ready when we call on him, and he has big news to present to us today. But I want to say first, I understand from my friend John Bolia that Eric is probably here at great sacrifice because he's an avid Red Sox fan. Since my Dodgers have lost, I care a little less, and I'm happy to be here in Tech Talk with you. But we thank you, Eric, for coming in this very important day in our history. And without further ado, let me say that he's going to speak on JAWS 15. He assumes that you've tested it. He assumes that you know something about this. So let's see what you do know. And without further ado, I turn the microphone over to Eric Damery, Vice President, Software Management Products, Freedom Scientific. Eric, the microphone is yours, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thanks everyone for tuning in. And I am an avid Red Sox fan, as it's been pointed out. Have been for years. I grew up in Massachusetts, and my first recollection of baseball was 1967, the impossible dream year. And I've been a fan of the Sox ever since. So even though I did relocate to Florida back in the late 80s, I've maintained my relationship with that team, and I just follow them, and I love them. So it's been a great week with the first four games. And for those of you who haven't kept up, it's 2-2. There's three games left. It's basically a best-of-three series now, and one in St. Louis, two in Boston. And when we're done here tonight, at whatever time we finish up, I'm sure there'll be plenty of baseball left, so everybody should tune in. Just by introduction, for those of you who I haven't spoken with before or who haven't been to any presentations that I've done, I'll introduce myself again. I'm Eric Damery, the Vice President of Software Product Management for Freedom Scientific. I entered this industry back in 1993. When I met Ted Henter, and my dad was a visually impaired disabled veteran, and he had gotten some equipment through Ted's company with Arkenstone's Open Book and JAWS on it, and that was the DOS days. And I saw the technology. I was really impressed at some of the independence that can be gained from this technology, and I realized how important it was. So I met Ted and got started in this business, and I've really loved it, and it's been a huge part of my life, my family's life. So I'm passionate about it. I try and know everything I can about the technology. My only regret is that we can't do more with the technology. Sometimes it's very frustrating that we can't accomplish more than we do, but I will tell you that there is a team of people back there at Freedom Scientific in the development side and the sales side, and they work very hard, and they're very passionate about it. And so I thank the whole team, and I'm sure that some of those folks are even tuned in here tonight and listening in. So today was an important day. For those of you who have been paying attention, at about 10 a.m. this morning, JAWS for Windows 15 went live as a release product. And I know that the download started immediately, and I didn't get a final count today or finally tally today, but I am certain that we are in the thousands of people already running the release version. JAWS for Windows 15 is an SMA upgrade, so each year at approximately this time, we do a major release, and that is an SMA upgrade, a software maintenance agreement upgrade. And for those of you who had JAWS 14, hopefully you were in the SMA program and ready. You'll be receiving 15 in the mail. The DVDs will start to hit the mail on Thursday this week, they promised me, and even the international ones should be arriving in their countries by Friday, and give the distributors a little bit of time to get those forwarded on to you, but you all should be getting them within the next, I'd say, 10 to 12 days. If you haven't seen your DVD and you did expect something, and it still hadn't arrived in about 12 days or so, you might drop an email to our customer service department, give your name, give your serial number, your address, let them know that you had anticipated receiving it and you didn't, and I'm sure someone will be able to get back to you. Make sure you provide your mailing address and your serial number along with your name when you send it in. For those of you who are not on the SMA program, I strongly encourage it. The SMA program is your opportunity to get upgrades, future upgrades, at roughly a 50% discount. And it really helps us because when people are participating in the SMA program, it's like you're investing in the future of us continuing to develop this product and make it as good and solid as we can. And the SMA program has been a great, I think, a good resource for us to be able to do that. It shows the interest and the passion that our customers have in our technology to be able to pre-purchase those upgrades, and we really appreciate it. And we're going to work hard to keep on earning that SMA investment that you're willing to make in our company. And I will tell you that JAWS 16 is already on the drawing board. We're starting our planning processes, and we're getting developers ready to roll into it. But that doesn't mean we're done with what we've already released. So the next update that comes out actually will be another update for JAWS 14. That will hit the streets in about 10 days, I think. And that update will include some minor international changes. The most significant thing that we've done is updated it for the new 8.1 UI on Windows 8. And I'll talk more about that as I get into Windows 8.1 a little bit. But we've made some adjustments because Microsoft made some changes there. And we wanted to make sure that if you had JAWS 14 and you did get Windows 8, you don't have the touchscreen support, but we want to make sure it keeps talking as good as we had 8 talking. So we're making some fixes there. Following that release of JAWS 14, the updates for JAWS 15 will begin, and I'm not even saying we're done with 14 yet. There could potentially be more down the road, but certainly the main emphasis now will be on 15. So some of the issues that may have been reported during the beta cycle have rolled into the next update, and then there'll be issues that will come up. So some of you are going to discover things after you get this installed that you didn't see ahead of time. Please get a hold of tech support, let them know, give them the steps. Let's identify what issues you've found that we haven't yet, and we'll get those escalated through the tech support department, and we'll get those things resolved and roll them into our updates. We're going to try and put something out. We try to do it each month, but it's not always going to work out every 4 weeks, but the first one I think I'm going to get scheduled will hit December 1st, right around that first week in December. I don't want to get past, say, the 7th or 8th of December as we start to get towards the holidays. And the second update will probably hit probably the third week in January or thereabouts. So we'll continue to do updates. I know we've already got a number of changes coming in the first update to go out to private beta very soon. So maybe I'm going to turn the mic off for a second just to check with Bob. Let's make sure I'm coming through okay.
You're coming through loud and clear. Thank you. And if you guys have questions and you're new, if I may take a time for a second, hit F8. If you have a microphone, hit the letter Q and enter. If you don't have a mic, hit F8, write your question and enter, please. Okay, Eric, you're on.
Okay, thanks, Bob. And I have done this several years now with this group, and here's kind of the way I'd like to do it if we could. I'm sure you've got some questions. Keep track of your questions. You can add them into the chat area. I try not to distract myself and go in and read the chat area too much. I kind of want to walk through what I believe to be the key changes in JAWS 15, the things that you should be thinking about. I'll give you my suggestions. but I'll try and keep my talking down to a minimum and try and get through as much as I wanted to cover, maybe in the first 30 or 35 minutes. And then I want to throw it open and we'll try and answer as many questions as we can. So without any further ado, let me jump into my list. So we released this morning. If you had the beta installed and you've restarted JAWS since 10 a.m. Eastern Time today, JAWS should have told you, provided you had an internet connection, that an update was available. It should have been able to download that and install it. And provided you had your authorization up to date, it should have come up and be running requiring the 15 authorization. If you didn't have 15 authorization, it would have come up and run as a demo. And if you think you were entitled to it and you didn't have the authorization, you can go into the help menu and say update authorization from the help menu, and you'll need your code handy if you didn't install the code with a DVD at some point on this computer. But you can get that authorization updated and start running. If for some reason the automatic update seemed to not work correctly and you don't feel that you're getting the update the way you should, my recommendation is to always just go to the freedomscientific.com website. HJ.com still works, by the way, and go to the downloads link on the homepage, go to the JAWS page, and download either your 64-bit or 32-bit version, depending on which operating system you have, and install right over top of the beta, or just install over top of whatever 15 build you think you had on there, and see if that doesn't resolve it and get you working. If it doesn't, you may want to touch bases with the tech support department. They might suggest that you uninstall, remove shared, and start over, but that really shouldn't be necessary. Usually installing right over top should solve the problem. Once you've got 15 installed, 14 should still function just as it did, as with 13, so you can keep the earlier versions on there and use those. I always suggest to folks that have made lots of changes in their earlier versions to tiptoe into adding those changes into 15, because in some cases, that may not be necessary. If you know there are certain things you do each time when you install it, go ahead and run through those. But hopefully you've taken the time, read the what's new, and look at some of the changes, especially in the area of Braille and so forth. We've made some adjustments, and that would be good to look at. So to run through the list, I want to start with Windows 8 support. Now, JAWS 14 was our first release to start supporting Windows 8 last year on October 24th when we went public. But this version supports Windows 8 at another level. We're actually dealing with touchscreens now. I mentioned when I got started, I'm running a Microsoft Surface Pro computer. Now, there's two versions of Microsoft Surface. There's one that they called RT, which runs a non-Intel-based cut-down version of Windows designed for tablets, which I actually think might go away. I think the mobile phone Windows phone platform is going to kind of take over. And the other Microsoft Surface is the Microsoft Surface Pro, and that runs a full version of Windows 8 that you would normally buy on a desktop or a laptop in the store. And it is the Pro version that you would want to get if you intend on using JAWS or any of the other assistive technology, because to my knowledge, there is no assistive technology today, third party, that you can install on an RT tablet and use it. So if you're going to get a Surface Pro, if you're going to get a Surface, get the Pro version. What's unique about the tablet, it's has a keyboard, and there's actually two versions of the keyboard, the one that comes with it, or you can buy a more expensive keyboard. I paid the extra got the more sophisticated keyboards, about $130 extra. It has a pretty good feel to it. It attaches magnetically to the tablet. You must be attached in order to use it, so it's not a Bluetooth keyboard or anything like that. but the tablet serves, the keyboard serves as a cover for the glass on the tablet as well. So it's kind of like I have a laptop. I have a laptop that runs Windows 8, but it also has the touchscreen. Now, I mentioned earlier that I bought it twice. The first time I bought it, I actually returned it because I was very frustrated that there was no way to change the F1 through F12 key to actually work without having to hold down the FN key. And so to do something like insert F7 to bring up a links list on a web page on this laptop layout, I had to do caps lock, the FN key, which is two keys to the right of the space bar, and then reach up and find the F7. So it was a very awkward way of doing it, and I was not able to ascertain any way to change it. There was no way to edit the BIOS, and there was no adjustment, but then something happened. Somebody figured this out, or Microsoft made a change, and I actually heard from Jim Gashel at NFB, and he told me that his tech guy figured it out, and if you do caps lock FN, you can toggle that now. So I went back out and bought another one, and I've been using it ever since. It calls it a Surface, and it really is a Surface. You want to actually set it on a tabletop to use it. It doesn't work as well on a lap as a laptop does because the keyboard's not as solid and the back's a little unbalanced. So I think that's all I'll say about the Surface. It's a powerful machine. They're expensive. This particular one with the keyboard, I think, was upwards of $1,200. And so it's not cheap. I have looked at a couple of others recently. If I were to go out and buy another computer tomorrow, I think I would buy an 11-inch touchscreen Lenovo Yoga. It's a fantastic-looking computer. We've got one in the office. Someone else is using it. And I think that that's really a great-looking little computer, and I like the smaller screen on it. It's lightweight and everything. We've got a few 13-inch, but I think the smaller one's even better. The keyboard on it is dynamite, and it's a little more substantial. It acts as a laptop, yet it folds over, and you can use it as a tablet as well. So give that one a look if you're interested in getting one. But back to our our support of this Windows 8 touchscreen solution. When I've talked to people, I like to point out that what we've done with JAWS is assumed that you're going to put Windows 8 on a laptop that doesn't have a touchscreen. Now, if you're a sighted person and you don't have a touchscreen, you can use the mouse to navigate the touchscreen type applications. You can use the keyboard on everything else you're doing, like Microsoft Outlook or Word or Excel or even IE. You just run it the way you normally do. But some of these new modern style apps that they've created are designed and intended to be used by someone who is actually touching a screen. The app is really set up to run with your fingers or a stylus touching on a screen. And I don't really think that that's necessary. Once you've installed JAWS for Windows, what you're going to learn is that all of the touchscreen gestures can be done right from the keyboard. Or even better yet, if you have a Braille display, we've set these things up so that you can now actually drive the touchscreen and the gestures right from the Braille display itself. So if you don't have a touchscreen, don't worry. If you've got Windows 8, install JAWS 15 and go to the What's New and go into the Help section, and you'll see there's object navigation using the touch cursor, and you'll also see that there is some sections in here where we talk about Windows 8 and touchscreen support, and we give you all the keystrokes to be able to use Flicks. Well, you'll also see that there are keyboard commands to do each one of these things as well. There are a couple of apps I'll mention, the weather app and the newsreader app. Those are the two I think you should experiment with. In addition to the desktop or the touch screen itself, the start screen itself, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but the weather app and the news app, are really designed to use this new object navigation and touchscreen navigation, and we've set up JAWS so that when you land in one of those two apps, you'll hear JAWS say touch cursor. So it comes on, it puts you right in the mode that it expects you to navigate using the right and left arrow or up and down arrow to move by sections. And alternatively, if you do have a touch screen, you can use right and left swipe on the screen or up and down swipe with a single finger to simulate the same thing you would get with the arrow keys. And that's a good way to be able to read through and start to see how these apps work. And in the news app itself, once you get into a story, if you want to read it, you can do the regular say all command, or if you're using the touch screen, a two-finger swipe down will start a say all and start to read through that. But let's back up and let's talk about Windows 8 and the touch or the start screen itself. When Windows 8 was first introduced and we first started to look at it, and I probably talked about this a lot here last year as well, there was an awful lot of fear that it's changed quite a bit, it's different from Windows 7, maybe we don't want to go that direction. Well, I'm here to tell you that Windows 8 is not really much different from Windows 7. Visually, to a sighted individual, it looks quite a bit different, because the old start screen that would pop up when they hit the Windows key from the left side of the screen, it was a very vertically laid out menu system. That is now kind of spread out on this start screen that you're in by default when you come up, and the applications are there. What you learn when you're using a screen reader is that as soon as you're on that screen, if you know what you're looking for, you can just type it in. So if you've landed on the start screen and you type in INTE, you'll probably stop right there, and that's all you needed, and you'll hear it say Internet Explorer. And you can press Enter, and it launches Internet Explorer for you. So it populates the list of all of the apps, and you can actually have it find settings and documents that are related to whatever you've just typed in, and you can arrow down through the list of things and pick the one you want. Now, if you would prefer to navigate the tiles, and I call them tiles, they literally look like tiles, they're squares, and they're either small squares, big squares, or they're rectangles. And they're laid out in groups on the desktop, and they expand over to the right edge and beyond. So a sighted person, if they don't see the tile they're looking for, they put a finger on the screen, and they swipe from right to left, and it slides the screen over so that it brings the next piece into view. And the more they slide or the faster they flick, the faster it will come across. And these tiles are different colors, and they have names on them. Some of them change pictures. Some of them, like the news app, might actually put up what the top story is. The weather app might actually show you what the forecast is at the current moment in the area that you've set up. These tiles are designed to attract attention visually for a user to be able to locate them easily. If you want to explore these tiles with the keyboard, by default, we're in what would be called PC cursor mode when you land on the start screen, and you can up and down or right and left arrow and move through these tiles. The problem is they don't wrap, and there isn't a lot of rhyme and reason here, so when you hit down arrow, you may get to the bottom of a column, and you may hear it said you're in row 1, and then it tells you you're in row 3, and then it tells you you're in row 5. It's very unusual the way this grid is lined out and laid out, and it's hard to really recognize where you are. And once you've reached the bottom of the column, you have to go back up to the top and then work over to the next one and then work down through it. And it's very easy to miss tiles as well. So in the final release of JAWS 15, there is a better way to do this. If you really want to experiment on your tiles and see what they are, go to the start screen, turn on the touch cursor, and you can do this by hitting the JAWS key with shift and semicolon. I'm thinking about laptops right now because this is how I've been running Windows 8. So it's caps lock, shift, semicolon, turns on my touch cursor. And then I can right click on my touch screen or hit the right arrow, which acts as a flick, and it will step through each of your tiles, and it kind of goes from column 1 to column 2, back to column 1, row 2, over to column 2, row 2, and then on to row 3 in column 1. And so it works itself down there, and then it wraps back up to the next one. So you can literally hit right arrow and go through and see every tile and be sure you haven't missed any and kind of identify what they are. If you use up and down arrow, you will move by group. So you'll move from one group of tiles to the next. And unfortunately, these groups don't have names by default. They're usually not named. So JAWS will name the group whatever the first tile is in the group. So it might say that you're on the weather group. Well, it's not really the weather group. It's just that you're on a group and the first tile in the top left-hand corner, that group is the weather one. Everything else may be something else. They may not be related to weather. There are ways of shifting this stuff around and positioning it, and if you're a sighted user or a low vision user, positioning these things may be of value to you and you might like to do that. If you're a blind user, I think learning something about the apps that you run and just typing them in to find them is a much more efficient way, and I'm going to leave it at that. You can decide. But you can try out the touch cursor. Again, it's not on by default on the start screen, but if you turn it on, you'll find that that's a good way of exploring the tiles. I'll leave it at that. Moving on, I'm sure there could be some questions on the touchscreen stuff in Windows 8.1. I'll come back and talk to that when we get into the questions section. I just want to keep moving forward here, and we'll go through some of these other areas. So Vocalizer Expressive is the new version of Vocalizer that we released in JAWS 15. And if we back up 1 year, we released a version of Vocalizer, and we called it Vocalizer Direct. It was much more responsive than RealSpeak. It is still on our website and still available for you if you have JAWS 14, and that is the version of Vocalizer that's going to work in 14. The big issue, I think, that we really had with Vocalizer, as we had with RealSpeak, was that we did not have pitch adjustment. So in order to get capitalization to announce correctly, you would not get the pitch to indicate for you when you hit a capital letter. That has been addressed in Vocalizer Expressive. And if you install JAWS 15, you will need to install the Vocalizer Expressive voices. There are a few new ones. You're welcome to go to the Help menu in your JAWS 15, go to Web Resources, and under Web Resources, you'll find Vocalizer Expressive. Press Enter on that. It will take you to the web page where you can sample the files, listen to the different voices in all the different languages, and download as many of them as you would like. Install them on your computer, and then set up a voice profile for the different voices, and you can switch between them. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on Vocalizer Expressive. I think more and more people are starting to actually make the leap and the transition away from Eloquence and go to it. Doesn't mean Eloquence isn't going to be there. I fully intend on Eloquence continuing. I think a lot of people still like it. It's small, and it is our default synthesizer when you install. It's always going to be there. We do not currently install any of the Vocalizer voices by default, either through download or off the DVD by default, because they're fairly large. If you want to get one, you will find about 6 or 7 of the voices on the DVD, or you can download any of them from the web page. And I think that's... Oh, so just to reinforce one of the things I had mentioned. So if you have JAWS 14 and you've installed Vocalizer Direct, you don't have to remove them, leave them on your computer. You can continue to use them with JAWS 14 if you've been doing that. If at some point you're going to remove JAWS 14 and you're never going to use it again, feel free. You can go into the Add Remove Programs and take the Vocalizer Direct voices out. If you put on 15 and you want to use Vocalizer, you will have to start with Vocalizer Expressive. That's going to be the new version going forward. So 15 will be restricted to just the JAWS 14 release for direct. The next topic I wanted to bring up was FS Reader. Now, many of you are experienced JAWS users, and you may not use our DAISY training materials too much. I hope you'll go and give them another look. We've made a lot of changes in this area, and if you go to the Help menu and choose Training, you'll now land in a Table of Contents page with a link to every DAISY book that we have available to you. And if you press Enter on any of those links, if that book is currently installed on your computer, it will open it up, and it will read and work and navigate just like a web page. So you can use navigational quick keys on it and be able to read through it very efficiently. Or you can alternatively press the keystroke Control P and have it start to speak. You'll hear Dan Clark come on, and he'll read the DAISY book to you, and you can follow along with him. If you press Enter on one of those links in the Table of Contents book and that book is not present on your computer, it will automatically go out, locate the book on our website, start to download and install it on your computer, and then open it up once it's installed. And then the next time it'll already be there, so it won't have to do that. So instead of it taking you to the Check for Updates dialog and you have to go through and find the check boxes and check the ones you want, this should be a lot easier. For those of you who are trainers, I want you to really spend a little bit of time and take a good look at this. I think you will find this to be much easier for your users. And then in the process of teaching them how to read the DAISY books, you're also helping them to learn how to navigate through HTML. So it should be a good advantage. I hope you can take advantage of that. Try it. And Dan Clark has been busy and still is on updating some of the books, in addition to the JAWS certification. So for those of you who have taken the certification in the past, we've added a dozen or so new questions with JAWS 15, and I encourage you to go out there and take the certification again this year and see how you do it. Remember, the certification is free for anybody to go and take. If you pass it, wonderful. If you feel it would be beneficial for you to have a certificate, we do a very nice print and braille certificate that we can produce and send to you. There is a fee for it. It's pretty reasonable. And the renewal, if you take it once and pay for it, you can take it in the future and keep getting the renewals. Look on the certification page, and it will give you all the details on that. But you certainly don't have to buy any of the certification, but I encourage you to take it. It'll really help to teach you things that you didn't know about JAWS. It will force you to do some of those things that you didn't know. We have added a new speech history mode for speech users. If you're running JAWS for Windows 15, at any time you can do an insert space to go into layered mode and hit the letter H for history. And it will pop up a list of the last 50 strings that had been sent to the synthesizer. Now, a string to a synthesizer could be if you hit the Windows key and it says Start Menu. Start Menu was a string. And then it might say Search Box Edit. That would be another string. So you might see a couple of different things there on history. So it's not always a sentence or a phrase. It could be a prompt or a window title or something like that. But it will bring up a history of the last 50 strings. It will put you on the most recent, and you can walk backwards through them and see what they were to see what it said. Now, I think a lot of different people will find a lot of different ways of taking advantage of this to help them out in the future. But let me give you a suggestion of one that I think would be very valuable. If you are on a website for some company, whether it's an online store or banking site or some website where it's just not very clear, and while it may visually appear nice, it doesn't read very well because of the way the author laid out the page or didn't label a graphic or just made it so it's very, very inconvenient and not comfortable to read with a screen reader. Well, you can go to that page and go to the section of that page and then down arrow through where it's not very clear, and let JAWS read everything as you're moving down through it. And once you've gotten past the section that you wanted to do, you could pop up the history, insert space H. You can select the history. You can select all of it with a Control A and then do a Control C to copy to the clipboard, and then send an email to the webmaster and explain what the issue is to them and paste the contents of what JAWS reads. And if the webmaster looks at what JAWS is speaking and compares it against the coding that they've done on the web page, it will be very clear to them what the screen reader is getting, and maybe they'll start to understand where they could make the adjustments. So this could be a very good way of helping out sighted webmasters who need a little bit of education about what the screen reader is reading, because they're looking at it and seeing one thing, but JAWS is seeing the underlying code, and if the mistake is made within the code, that's why they're going to get it wrong. Next is updating our Skype support. Many of our friends out here on the internet that participate in these programs are familiar with Doug Lee. Doug is a longtime JAWS user and just been a great help to folks who use Skype, because he's produced some of the best support of Skype available out there, and always made it available for free. You have to download the Skype scripts from Doug Lee's location. But they've always been there, and because of that, we've never really put a whole lot of attention on Skype. But for this release, we thought it was time that we go in and we actually do some of this maintenance ourselves and get it built in and make it a little easier. So we met with Doug. He shared with us the areas of the where he is focused on, some of the more sophisticated spots, and we took some of the less sophisticated areas and we built them into our scripts to make it very easy for someone to use. And we even in this final release added in there grade 2 support for Braille input in the text chat area. So if you're doing text chat with Skype and texting back and forth with someone in the messaging app, you can actually type in grade 2 in there now as well. So if you are a user of Skype, please check it out, what we've offered. And if you're a power user of Skype and you're interested, go and look for Doug Lee. You can Google Doug Lee Skype scripts and you'll find his webpage. And you can read about what he's done and consider adding his support in as well. He offers that for free. Third-party Braille drivers. About 4 years ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I think it was around 4 years ago, we made a change in JAWS for Windows so that all Braille display manufacturers that would like to continue to be supporting within JAWS, both 32-bit and 64-bit, we were going to ask them to rewrite the support, their driver for their Braille display, based on a new specification we were going to provide for them. And we got them to enter into a program. There is a nominal fee for this, but in exchange we provide them a great specification for the driver, and we provide them a test plan so that they can make sure that they're taking advantage of all the features and functions in JAWS for Windows with their display. And they send us their finished driver and their test procedure, and we test their driver and we make sure it's right. Then we sign the driver and we've made it available to them to publish. And starting with JAWS 15, we're actually publishing most of these drivers within JAWS themselves. So you still may need to get the system level driver for your particular third party display from the manufacturer, but in the future, if you've gone to a computer, let's say with a Handytech Braille display, you should be able to walk up to a computer, install JAWS for Windows, plug in your display, or establish a Bluetooth connection, and it will just start to work, so you don't need to install any extra driver. And in the future, if you unplug your display and walk away, or turn off your display to break the Bluetooth and leave, and when you come back and turn on Bluetooth or plug in the display, it'll automatically detect it, will just start to work again. There's no need to restart JAWS, and that's certainly true with our Focus line of Braille displays. We recently came out with a 14 cell. We have a 14, a 40, and an 80 on the Focus line. works with all of those, but it also is working with these third-party displays. And we continue to test those and work closely with the manufacturers to make sure that you don't experience any interference with the use of your display when we go from one version to the next. It should be very seamless and very transparent now. They just should work. And that is all thanks really to that third-party program. We really thank the manufacturers for working with us on getting this program in place. It was really needed to make sure that we could continue to give the best possible Braille support we could for everybody. And I'll give you an example. When we were developing the third-party Braille program, one of the big reasons we needed people to redo their driver was because we were in the process of adding grade 2 Braille input. So you could literally go into Microsoft Word or an email, and you could write that email using contracted Braille input on a Braille keyboard if you have one on your Braille display. Now, unless they rewrote their drivers using our new specifications, their Braille displays would not have been able to take advantage of that. And I think most consumers would have been very frustrated in finding that out. And we probably would have taken the blame. So we couldn't really expose to people what was coming, but we did need them to get into the Braille program so we could have them ready when that support came out. And I think those of you who don't have a Freedom Scientific display and you're able to take advantage of that, that's all thanks to that third-party program. I mentioned the auto detection, so if you haven't tried that out yet, if you have a USB display, if you have set that up already, unplug your Braille display and reboot your computer, and when JAWS comes up, then just plug in the Braille display and you'll notice it's just working. It just starts to work. You don't need to restart JAWS anymore. We've also added, at the request mainly of our international customers, but I think customers in the U.S. that use Braille will appreciate this. You can go into the Startup Wizard and you'll find adjustments for your Braille display. If you have a Braille display plugged in, the changes, many of the settings that you can set for the Braille display will be right there in the Startup Wizard now. And if you're not running with a Braille display, I believe it's set up so that you will not see those things. So you'll have to have a Braille display set up to be able to view that. We've also set up instant switching between Braille tables, so if you do have a second Braille table for contracted Braille in another language installed on your computer, you can have it set up so that it will automatically switch. When you switch languages in JAWS, it'll switch automatically to that other language for the contracted Braille. So, for instance, you could have Spanish and English set up, and when you jump back and forth, the Braille tables will switch. We've also made a lot of changes in the structured mode output, and this is pretty well documented in that What's New, and I will refer you to go in and read that. If you are a Braille user, this is pretty important. You can go in and literally change the way JAWS is going to display information to you in Braille in structured mode to be able to cut down on some of the extra things that we're telling you, kind of like when you have speech turned on, if you're in beginner verbosity, we may speak more, and if you go to advanced, you might hear a little less. Well, in structured mode, you might like to have your Braille display take up a little less real estate with some of the things that you don't necessarily need to see because you're very familiar with where you are and what you're working in. So check that out, but I will ask that you go in and spend a little bit of time and read that on the What's New. Error reporting. We've added this feature in, and it's you know, we've always had the ability to have a user actually do what we call dump JAWS. So if you got into a hang state, you could do the JAWS key with the Windows key and F4, and it would force JAWS to unload. You'd actually hear a sound. Those of you who are running JAWS at the moment, if you do a Windows key with JAWS key and hit F4, JAWS will go away and you'll hear a little sound. And it'll actually, if you're running JAWS 15, it'll restart itself if you get one of these crashes. So you'll literally be able to dump it and have it restart again. And that creates a what we call a dump or a log file for what JAWS was doing when that dump happened, when that crash occurred. And those of you who may have experienced something either during the beta time or even now, if something is going wrong on your computer with JAWS and JAWS experiences one of these, you'll be asked to send that crash log into Freedom Scientific. We don't gather any other information than the JAWS details about the crash, and there is nothing personal. We're not grabbing any information out of your computer or who you are or anything like that. I don't even think we're capturing IP addresses, but I could be wrong on that. But there's nothing. We really couldn't get a hold of you even if we wanted to. So one of the things I wanted to say to folks, if you do think you're in one of these situations where it keeps sending the crashes in, it keeps dumping and keeps trying to send crashes in, you might want to call support and tell them you're experiencing that and let the support people grab your name and grab the crash log, and we'll take that right to the developers and say, hey, look at this crash. It's been coming in through your system, and this is the person that's having it. If there's something we need to ask them, we can communicate back to you a little easier. So again, call support if it's happening on a regular basis and you want to get somebody to look at it a little closer with you, and they'll be happy to get you set up so we can take a look. Navigation quick keys. I know that some of you have gotten used to using some of these, and I've made some adjustments. So R, which has always been radio button, is now region. And we believe that we're going to see a lot more companies start using regions as a way of jumping around on their website. Rather than frames, they'll use regions to move to like the search box or to a main reading area for news pages and things like that. So R is going to be region. Shift R takes you to the prior region. Control Insert R will bring up a list of the regions. You can move through the list and press Enter. It will put you there. We've moved radio buttons to A. And anchors, I think I've unattached now. So if you've been using anchors and you want to get it back, there are ways of doing that. Talk to support and they can help walk you through that. It's a pretty simple process. We've also put in something for on mouse over, semicolon and shift semicolon for previous on mouse over, and you can get a list of those. I think that's what I'm going to stop with. There's quite a bit in there. Again, I hope you read the what's new, and I hope you've got it installed and given it a try. And I'm looking at my clock now, and I've talked about 5 or 10 minutes longer than I hoped to. So with that, I'm going to back off, and we'll let people chime in with questions. And I think I'll let Bob describe to you again if you want to enter them and type them in. I may be able to take a look at it and answer some on the fly, too. Thanks.
Okay, if you hit F8 and you do not have a microphone, type in your question and hit enter, and we'll ask Eric to read it into the record. I remember having a speaker. He said, yes, no, this, you know, maybe. And I said, what are you doing? Well, I'm answering the guy's questions. No, no, we've got to read them into the record. That's why Susan helps us immensely here. If you have a microphone, hit F8, write the letter Q, and enter. And I will start by asking Susan, do we have questions, please?
We do. We have several, and so let's everybody keep our questions short and to the point. Let's start with Mike.
Hey, great presentation. My question is, I currently have the SMA, and it runs out after I get the JAWS 15, and I was wondering what the price is to buy back into the SMA for the future. And I also wanted to say I really like the training webinars and things that you guys have put together. Thanks.
Okay, Mike. Well, good question. I'm glad you appreciate the webinars, and I'll let Dan know. We'll continue to put more and more of those up. I think they're a great way of learning. So if your SMA has expired, there are two versions of the SMA, the SMA for a JAWS Pro and a JAWS Standard. And if you have the Pro version of JAWS, the SMA renewal would be $200, and you should do that. I think the scheduled time is probably the end of this year, so you've got a couple of months now to do that renewal at the $200 rate. If you do delay into next year at some point. I think the price gets up at $260. I think they add $60 if it's a late renewal or something. So try and get that done. If for some reason you can't get it done and you think you can get it done in January or February, call customer support and talk to them and make sure they know what's going on and let the customer service people try and help you out with that. If you have a JAWS standard, it's $120 for the SMA renewal. And again, these SMAs are good for two upgrades. So if you think about it, like if you've got a JAWS standard, $120, it's good for the next couple of years roughly. So $60 a year or $5 a month, I guess that's the way it works out. So if you think about it in that fashion, it's not too bad. And in the future, I may try and make some adjustments to it to make it an annual thing, but for the time being, for the auditors and the accountant people, it's a lot easier if I have one way of selling the SMA, so that's kind of why I've kept it that way. Hope that answers.
It sure does. Okay, Susan, please.
Next is Kenny.
Hey, Eric, great presentation. I just wanted to ask a question about the vocalizer expressive voices. Is that going to be replacing Eloquence in the future?
So the Vocalizer Expressive, as with the Direct and as with RealSpeak that we released earlier, are all in addition to Eloquence. So we don't have any intention on replacing Eloquence. I meet and talk with Nuance on a regular basis. I've always expressed the importance of Eloquence. Unfortunately, there's not any development going on with Eloquence right now, and while I have broached the subject with Nuance about seeing if I could take over the code on that so we could make some adjustments and even improve upon it, that's not happened at this point. It may not. So as far as I can tell, Windows 8 and 8.1, everything is fine with Eloquence, and going forward, we'll continue to distribute those. So should be no changes there. But I encourage you to install the Expressive and give it a shot. These voices really are getting good, and they're very, very responsive now.
All right. Susan, next question, please.
Nikki, please.
Yes, I have a couple questions. First of all...
Go ahead, Nikki, with your one question, please. Okay, we'll catch him later, and we'll certainly recognize him. Susan, next question, please.
Jerry Hogan.
Eric, very well. Baba gave me this name here. Eric, very good presentation. I think you answered my question, but I, for example, I use iTunes, and when I'm bumping down arrows to get to my iPhone, you know, past a certain point, I'll just stop working. So are you saying that I'll be able to automatically refresh and hopefully that job will just come back on?
So I'm not quite sure what the scenario is here when you say it stops working. If it goes away at that point, you never get speech. Like if when it stops, you hit the Windows key to open the Start menu and you're not getting any feedback from JAWS. One thing to always try would be to dump JAWS and let it restart again. So the JAWS key along with the Windows key at the same time and then F4. Normally you do JAWS key F4 to unload, but if you hold down the Windows key with the JAWS key and then do F4, that should dump JAWS if it got into a hung state and let it restart, and hopefully things are working again. But if you've got a situation in your iTunes where you're losing speech and it's always happening at a certain point, I first of all encourage you to call in and let's talk with support. Let's make sure that we've identified what's going on. If there's something we can do to resolve this, it would be very helpful for us to be able to talk through this with you and make sure we understand what the situation is.
Okay, I had the same problem.
Okay, next question, Susan, please.
Eric. Text chat, Robert asks, will Vocalizer be able to work with OpenBook in the future?
Yes. So we are adding Vocalizer Expressive will get added for Magic. on the next go-round, and it will also get added to Open Book in the next go-round. I think we've actually got Vocalizer Direct already set up for Open Book, if I'm not mistaken. So you may be able to get the Vocalizer Direct voices now for that.
All right. Next question, please, Susan.
There's a lot of text chat going on, and so I'm going to ask people please not to do that because there are a lot of questions. So please, I saw Donna's question. I was going to have Bob acknowledge it at the end of the program. Please don't text chat. Next is Bobby Vinton.
Hey, Eric, here's my question. how do we, you mentioned about the error reporting. What folder would the error reporting be in? And two, are all the voices from the Vocalizer Expressive going to be on the DVD, only the English ones? So what folder would the error reporting be in, and about the Vocalizer? Those are my little questions I have, and I'll let you answer, Eric.
Good questions, and I apologize, and you're right. I should have told you that information. So we'll start with the error reporting. So if JAWS has had an issue and has created a dump, or if you dumped JAWS using those keystrokes as I described, the logs can be located. If you go into your start menu under all programs, under JAWS 15, and go to explore my settings and press enter. So now you're in Windows Explorer in your user settings folder. And if you hit backspace, it will take you back one level. That's where the logs are located. So they're one level up from your user settings in JAWS. And again, if you're going to send those in, if there's something going on, make sure that when you send in the email, you give very clear specifics. Make sure you give your serial number, a little bit about how often this is happening. Is it something you can make and reproduce? Is there a particular app or a particular situation that you're in when you make this happen? So just emailing us logs doesn't really help, because we're already getting those if you allow them to be sent. So really the key here is, if there's something you can communicate to support that will help them maybe isolate what it is that you're working on or what you're doing at the time that's causing it, maybe it will help. And that would be the thing, is to talk to support maybe and ask them. As far as Vocalizer goes, the voices, I'm not sure how many are on the DVD. I believe they could get quite a few on there, so that you'll probably find one or two Spanish voices and probably six or seven English voices. But again, if they're not there, if the one that you want isn't there, just go to that web page and you can sample them and download the ones you want.
Very good. Okay, Susan?
Let's go to Rick.
Yes, hi, Eric. I see some distinct advantages to have JAWS 15 if you've got Windows 8 or if you have a Braille display. I didn't hear any real advantages for those who just have Windows 7, unless you're saying that the Express voices are superior to what we already have from 14. Can you fill us in with what advantages we will have in updating to JAWS 15?
A good question. And so if you have just Windows 7, you haven't gone to Windows 8, everything that we've done in Windows in JAWS 15, except for the touchscreen support and the new start screen in Windows 8.1, is available to you also in Windows 7. So the history feature, the Vocalizer Expressive, the error reporting, the Skype scripts, the new FS Reader, and all the HTML content. All of these things are available and there for you in Windows 7. And in fact, we do a lot of fixes along the way, too. So we've done a tremendous amount of work to make JAWS a better product. And most of our testing and all of our developers really have been functioning and working in Windows 7. We've got very few people who are actually on Windows 8 on a regular basis now. So Windows 7 is the operating system that is most widely used today, and I can assure you that Windows 7 is going to be the next, it is the next XP. So for those of you who are out there who are still running Windows XP, you realize that that operating system is now over 10 years old, and many years from now, 6-7 years from now, people are still going to be running on Windows 7. It's not going to go anywhere. Microsoft will keep updating it for many years to come. So we will also. While I'm mentioning that, though, I will tell you, Microsoft, and you guys probably all talk about this on earlier shows too, but Microsoft will drop support of XP starting in April this coming year. And while we don't expect people to stop using XP for a while after that, I believe that starting with JAWS 16 next year in October, I think we're going to remove the XP installation from that version, because what'll happen is if you are running XP up until April, everything is okay. Microsoft is still updating the security side of things and taking out some of the real problems that get put into the bugs that are the hacks that are out there on the internet and the spywares and all of that stuff. But after they stop supporting it, it will deteriorate, and I think that people running XP will start to really have some problems in the future. So I'm pretty sure that we will probably pull the support for XP starting next year with JAWS 16. So you may want to consider looking at a new computer between now and next summer if you've still got just XP and update. And go to Windows 7 or Windows 8. Either way should work fine.
Yes, I will be doing that, I'm sure. Okay, Susan, please.
Let's see what Morton Nelson needs to know.
Yes, good evening, Eric, and good evening, everyone. A problem that I've been having with JAWS all up and through the different Windows systems, XP, Windows 7, and now Windows 8, is many times when I interact with Internet Explorer, apparently there's a problem. If Internet Explorer suffers a problem, JAWS will totally stop speaking. It happened recently on 8.1. I tried to do that dump thing with those keystrokes, and it didn't bring it back. And I, you know, I don't know why that happens, but it happens quite often with me. And also, I wanted to mention the fact that the Skype, the app Skype in Windows 8.1, I found JAWS would be totally unable to deal with it. I couldn't find any menus. When someone called me, JAWS went almost silent. So I just thought I'd mention those things. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. So let me take those in reverse order. The first one, the Skype app. So if you've got Windows 8 on your computer, there are app versions or modern versions or metro versions, whatever we want to call them, versions of applications that come on Windows RT and also come on the Windows 8 Professional. So if you have a regular computer, you can get that those apps. You'll find them on there as tiles on the new start screen. But in addition to that, you get the desktop versions available to you. So you can download, if you haven't already, you can download the desktop version of Skype and install it on that computer. And this is how I've run Skype, because I understand the app version is not very good. And in fact, the apps of a lot of these versions of different applications is not nearly as good as the desktop one, especially with a screen reader. So for Skype, I encourage you, please use the desktop version of Skype, and you'll have much better success. But that's not to say that we won't do some more work on the modern app version of Skype in the future, but I don't think that's been addressed at this point. And the other thing that you mentioned is that you run into cases in Explorer where things just kind of lock up and hose up on you. If this is happening on a regular basis, I encourage you to contact the support department and talk to them about when it might be happening. And even if it doesn't restart, if you've done that keystroke, the Windows key and the jaws key in F4, you should, if you wait about 3 or 4 seconds after you do that, you'll hear a small sound play, and you'll know that jaws has been dumped. And there'll be dump files there, and the support guys might want to grab those, and let's take a look at them and see what we can identify. I do encourage you, obviously, keep updating Internet Explorer and keep updating JAWS. Stay on the current stuff, and hopefully this is getting better. Sorry about the inconvenience.
All right, Susan.
Okay, moving on. Let's go to Scott Edwards, please.
All right, yes. Good evening again, Eric. Yes, as I said before, I'm using a Surface Pro also. And it is my understanding, being that the Surface does not have a built-in optical drive of any kind, you know, CD or DVD, whatever, what have you, I can use a USB DVD drive to install JAWS 15 and up. It is my understanding that I can do that, that it would, if I have a USB DVD drive connected and put in a JAWS DVD, it will auto run, and I can install it just as if it were an internal drive.
That's correct. You can plug in external USB connected DVD drives, and you can install things. And I have installed. I think I installed a version of Office in that fashion. For JAWS itself, I never really mess with the DVDs personally. I always just go to the website and download the latest and greatest from the web and install right from there. So if you have a decent internet connection, it's not a bad way to go. And I would think for most of the folks that are on a program like this, you probably have a pretty good web connection. So I would think just downloading the software and installing it is fine. And I actually like to do that. I keep a folder where I keep my Freedom Scientific software products. And I keep all the versions in there, all the web versions. So if something ever went wrong and I needed to do a repair, I'd always have the build of the software right there on my computer. Hope that helps.
And that's a great idea. Absolutely. Okay, Susan, please.
Okay, now it's Roberta's turn.
I don't really so much have a question as a remark. I'm kind of like Martin. I have the same thing with JAWS crashing. I find it when I Alt-F4 out of Outlook, it does this. And I have called tech numerous times, in which I did finally have someone tell me about the key of insert window F4. And this has made it a lot easier to be able to dump it and then do the Control R and type in JAWS. Whatever number. So that has helped.
Yeah, but that's not what the intent is. It's not there to be able to, that's not the right solution. That's a workaround for the time being. So let's please not give up on this. Something is going on this computer. Something is going on with your setup there, because you're not alone running Outlook. I think you said you were running Outlook. We have people running versions of Outlook 2003, 2007, 2010, 2013, and you should not be experiencing crashes when you go to exit Outlook. So something else is going on this computer, and you might want to check with the Microsoft support people as well if you haven't done so. I know that Microsoft has a toll-free or free, I'm not sure if it's toll-free, but it's certainly free tech support now for people with disabilities. And I don't know what the number is. I'm sure you guys can get a hold of it if you Google it. If you don't have any success finding it anywhere, write into our support staff and Brian Carver can send it to you. So I'm sure he's got access to it. And I've heard good things about them up there, but let them know what's going on. And if they want to collaborate with our tech support team, I know our support team and their support team can get together, and maybe we can help solve this problem on your computer. Hope that helps.
Oh, I've talked to them several times. It just seems like I can't seem to get it to crash when I'm talking to them, because it doesn't do it all the time. So, but yeah, I have their tech support, Lenovo's tech support, y'all's tech support, and it seems like when I need it to do it, it won't do it. So, and until it does it, but then this, what you've got coming out in 15 sounds like it's perfect, because that way maybe now we can figure out what's going on.
Oh, I hope so. It's 1-800-936-5900 is the Microsoft one. Okay, Susan?
This is Jim O'Neill.
Okay, you want to try that again? Sound like you dropped the mic or something. Okay, Susan, next person. Let's hope he'll write something or whatever. Next question.
Yes, so my name is Dwayne McNutt. I'm wondering, what's the difference between, like, JAWS and, say, like, Window Eyes? And what's the difference in the voice synthesizers?
Well, I don't want to get into a comparison of the two groups, but if Eric feels free but to do this, but I really, we really don't like questions, you know, what's different and so on, because we have, believe me, we have all the screen reader people on, and they get their time. But Eric, I'll let you deal with that briefly, please.
Yeah, so I'm not sure today what the synthesizers are. I think they're providing a version of Eloquence. I think they're providing the same version of Eloquence now that we provide in JAWS. And I'm not sure if they've started to do anything with Vocalizer yet or not. I really can't answer.
Okay. December 2nd, I think we have something, but more low vision stuff, but you might sneak that question in, Dwayne. Okay. All right, Susan?
Next is Hamid Campos.
Yes, hello, Eric. I also know because, for instance, if you buy a Tower PC, you don't get a touchscreen, but Dell has a little, I imagine, I haven't seen it, but it's like a little iPad-like thing, and you can touch it, like a touchscreen. Will JAWS 15 work with those? It's a touchpad, and also, because it's Bluetooth, it's not directly connected, it's a Bluetooth thing. And also, Office 2013, how much more accessible should it be now? Can one buy it? Because I'm going to have to upgrade Office 2013 when I get a new desktop, if I do. Or should one still avoid it at all costs? How much more accessible is it now? And then, of course, I just wanted to know, I'll talk to you later on about IE11, because you said it was working for you, and it's still not working for me.
So, good questions, and I'm going to take them in reverse order. On your IE11, I want you to touch bases directly with the support guys. Get on with the escalations team, if you can, and let's figure out what's going on, because we are using IE11 at the office, and I've got it myself on this computer, and it is working as expected. But there have been some changes recently, which I still would kind of like to have you talk with the support guys, and let's make sure that we understand what's going on, especially if it's not working at all, or if you can, you've got something going wrong that you can reproduce easily. Let's get you on with them. The other, let's see. I want to make sure I remember the other two questions. So first, the touchpad one. So you're right. There are some devices out there that you can purchase that are like a small pad that would sit next to your computer that you may be able to use as a touch device. So it can literally move around on the screen. It's more designed to be like a mouse pad. But if it is a multi-point touch, now I think it has to be like a 5-point touch device, then there's a possibility that you could use that as an actual touch screen. But don't quote me on that, because I'm not absolutely positive. So if you are going to try and do something like that, you want to see if that's going to work. Make sure you get a receipt, try it right away, and return it if it doesn't, if you don't find it to be useful. I did look at one of these touchpads when we were doing some of the initial development work, and I gave up on the thing, but I think it was a 2- or 3-point touch device, and it simply acted as a mouse pad for me. So it was like the pad on a laptop, and that really wasn't what I was after. That wasn't the effect I was trying to induce out of it. I wanted it to be a touch screen like I think you're hoping to make. So make sure you get a receipt and try it out. And again, multi-point, so I think it's a 5-point touch device is what you need. And, now the third question's escaping me. I'm going to jump off for a second. You can remind me.
Yes. It was Office 2013, and just quickly on the IE11, anything Microsoft works except Microsoft.com and any other website you go to, no luck. Blank. Just the USB News, Windows.com, Windows Media Center, because I'm a Windows Media Center guy, WindowsMediaCenter.com, they do work.
Okay, and I think I did forward that information on to the support guy, but please send an email into it. You may, if you want, just send it to me directly, and I'm going to get the escalations guy to call you. So Office 2013, that was the other question. I'm glad you asked. I have been running with Office 2013 for a while now. Let me start by saying, if you have access to Office 2010, stay there. I wouldn't upgrade to 2013. A lot of it does work. A lot of it still, there are issues. And the issues are caused because as Microsoft is changing the technology, as the design of programs is changing, there are new limitations to old techniques that we've been able to use to be able to get access to information. And I'll use as an example something like the status line in a window where you can't move PC focus, and we've had to be able to capture that information and build our off-screen models to be able to know where it is and read it with the JAWS cursor or the invisible cursor. And this is true in like spell checkers. So to be able to properly deliver information about the spell checker and make the access keys work the way we're expecting to make them work required our use of some techniques that allowed us to build an off-screen model. And those things are no longer available to us once you go to Office 2013. And while we've worked really hard to try and get around some of these issues, we have not been able to completely get around all these issues yet, nor has anyone else, by the way. And these things get more and more difficult to do. Now, we're not giving up, and I'm not saying we're not going to crack this egg, but there's some work left to be done there. And if you can stay in 2010, I would suggest that if you have to go to 2013, you can write documents and you can use Excel and you can do emails. It's just not as good as it was in 2010, and there are some things that you're going to run across that you're going to struggle with. And I can't give you an absolute time at when we're going to get that working better, but I will tell you, we're not giving up. We're going to try and get that done.
Okay, Susan, can you tell me how many questions are left, please? No repeaters, okay? How many are left, if you can? If you need a minute or two, we'll have another question, but let's see what you want to do.
Three, if we try to go back to Jim O'Neill, and one repeater, and I'd like to ask a question also.
Well, I know you're going to ask one. Let's go to Jim O'Neill. Jim O'Neill, are you present? He is not. Who's the next person then, Susan? That would leave two, I guess. And you will ask. Certainly, we'll get you in.
That's correct. Next is Tom Kaufman.
Yes, actually, this last comment almost leads into my question. About Outlook 2013, I'm noticing that it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Especially in regard to the autocomplete feature in the address book. You know how you used to be able to type in a part of a name and just go ahead and fill it in. Well, it's doing it, except that JAWS 14 doesn't read it. So I was wondering if there's what's going on with that, if we'll find in JAWS 15 if that will be improved. But if I understood you correctly, that's still being worked on. Same thing with the spell checker. There's some things in the spell checker that, mainly if I want to do the word in context thing, that doesn't seem to work anymore.
Right. So both the contacts area and the autocomplete have been issues. I'm not sure where we're at the moment on those. I think we're trying to come up with solutions to both, and that may or may not be in the final release of 15. I'm not sure. You'll have to double check on that. But those are certainly areas where we've also experienced some of these issues. And I would encourage you to help Microsoft out here by making sure that the support people know that these are things that have worked correctly in earlier versions of Office and that the screen reader's hands are tied at the moment. we may not be able to overcome some of these things, and I'm not saying that they're going to be able to resolve them, but the more voices that go in can continue to spur the developers of Office on to make sure that they understand that they've got to help come up with some solutions here to be able to expose all of this information using UI automation if they're going to take away our ability to go and capture this information in other ways. We've got to get it exposed through their APIs so that we can deliver that information better. And, you know, be gentle with them, but if you can encourage their support team as to what it is you're trying to do that doesn't work, all the voices add up and it does help.
All right, Susan, what is your question, please?
We have one more, and Eric has updated us that the baseball game in the fourth inning, the score is 1-1. And the last question before mine is David Green.
Hi, Eric. I'm a pastor, and I use JAWS, and I have a Bible program called Logos. I've been using JAWS for years and Logos for years, and with the JAWS cursor and the PC cursor, I've been able to make Logos work. But now they've updated, and it's just totally inaccessible. It won't work at all, and I've talked with JAWS, I've talked with the Logos, and I've not able to get anywhere. Wonder if it's possible to have scripts written for this Logos Bible program. I have thousands of dollars tied up in it, and it's just not accessible at all.
Well, David, I apologize for that, and I don't know that particular program, but I'll give you my email address, edamery, spelled D-A-M-E-R-Y, and if you have trouble getting an email to me, if you think you got the address wrong or something, check with Bob. He's got my email address, and drop me an email with as much details about the company that you know, and I will reach out to a couple of other people that I know who may be in contact with them or may know something, and we'll see if we can't learn something else for you on that one.
So it's ID edamery@hj.com?
Yeah, at freedomscientific, all one word, .com. edamery@freedomscientific.com.
Okay, and that's just for David. Eric's a busy man helping us, please. Okay, Susan, you're the last one, but you're always the first one in our hearts. Your question.
Thank you. I have two that are sort of related, I think, because they both have to do with JAWS. Are you doing development in 2010 anymore? Because is there any way that the calendar can be made to work any better? Because it worked better in 2007 than it does in 2010. And we're having trouble a lot of times in filling out forms. And also, have you gotten any information from anybody that's having trouble with Bank of America?
So on the calendar one, Susan, send me an email. You have my email. Send me an email about that one, and I'll reach out. Tell me the view that you're in and the kinds of problems that you're experiencing, what isn't working, whether it's the appointments, setting up the appointments, reading through the appointments. Tell me a little bit about how you do it, what you're getting or what you're not getting, and then I will see if I can't get someone to talk to you about that. On the forms, I'm assuming this might be forms for Microsoft Word or something, and I don't have an answer. If you have a sample form that you can send me, give me some details too, and I'll make sure that I get that form sent in through support. We'll see if we can't get you an answer on that. And then, you see, I'm getting old. You asked the third thing. I'm sure of it. There was a third thing in there that I heard. And I didn't take any notes, so I didn't get it. If you could think of what it was, let me know.
Yes, I can. It's about Bank of America's website. They have some sort of code in there, and I have to use another screen reader to access it because it's some kind of overlay that JAWS won't recognize.
Interesting. And I haven't tried that, but I actually may have access to be able to look at Bank of America using the screen reader. I actually am doing care for my mother now, and she has Bank of America, so I've been meaning to talk to them and see if I can use their online system, so maybe I can start to see what that's like logging in. So send me a note on that one too, just a reminder, and I'll make sure I carve out a little bit of time, and I'll spend a little bit of time looking at the Bank of America site and see if I can't figure out what's going on. I do know another gentleman who actually does quite a bit of work with Bank of America from a consulting standpoint on accessibility. And so if I can identify what the issue is, he would be a good guy. I can have him call Bank of America, and we can maybe do something. So send me as much detail on that one as you can, too.
Will do, and I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And this is what Tech Talk is all about. This is great. Great, Susan. Good questions, and Eric, good answers. Eric, on behalf of Accessible World and Tech Talk, we want to thank you so very much for being here this evening and this historic day in baseball. We thank you. What else can I say? Could you leave us with perhaps contact for support or anything you want to say regarding contact information?
Sure. And thank you, Bob, and to the team there. I really appreciate this. We always have a good group of people and good questions, and appreciate the opportunity to come on at this opportune time of the year and talk about JAWS and the new release. Most people know how to reach the support department. I encourage you visit the Freedom Scientific homepage, and you'll get access to all of the information there, including the FS casts. The tech support pages can be reached right from the homepage using your links list and looking for support. Of course, you can get right to the What's New for JAWS and read through that if you haven't done so already. And you can always call in to the customer support department if you've got authorization questions. Call into on the 800 number with 444-4443. We'll get you right through to customer support, customer service. And, you know, you had to ask me what the support line is. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I'm sure you can get it right from the support page on our website. I apologize for not having that piece of information. You know, you think I would know that one. Sorry.
No problem. You've given us enough, and that's what I call the 800 one with all the fours. I never forget that. And they are so very helpful. I mean, with a guy like me, they take me by the hand, step by step. I said, I think I've destroyed JAWS. Oh, no, you haven't. Let's work together. Just great support, people. Eric, again, thank you so much. And next week, we'll begin our Stocking Stuffers Part 1. The week after, Stocking Stuffers Part 2. You can do your shopping for the holidays. Thank you so much for coming.